Guess what it is? Ah, peace. We started this in the beginning of the year. Peace. The acronym PEACE. So we're going to go through it and see if we can remember some things. What does the P stand for? For you are a royal priesthood, right? A priesthood serves. Priests serve. So we are royal priesthood. Oh, what is the E? Exhort one another. How often? Daily exhort. So instead of bringing people down, Christians exhort one another, which means it's a body ministry. It's not pastors, Heather and Pastor Dennis and all the others. It's everybody exhort one another. When do you do the exhorting? All the time. Anywhere. You haven't seen somebody for a while, what do? Text them, hey, where are you? You're part of the body. Part of the body, come on. Exhort one another, eh? Huh? The authority. God is the author of all authority. God gives authority. There is no authority apart from God. Every authority in heaven, every authority on earth, every authority in the home is delegated authority by God Himself. See? Communication. Not the silent treatment when you get in an argument, particularly the husband and wife. Don't give each other silent treatment. When you can't get your way, there's a silent treatment. Forget it. And if you do have silent treatment, if you do have an argument, how quick must you resolve the argument? Before the sun goes down. So our advice to the guys, start before sunrise. You got a long day to sort it out, my mate. All right? And by the end, hello, sweetie. How you doing? All right. And then, of course, today. What is today? What can the E stand for? Nicole, reveal it to us. What is it? Endure. Never give in. Oh, never give up. You know, we unfortunately over the years within Christianity, there has been tremendous amount of doctrine, and then there's been a hiding away or shying away from doctrine. And then we got into a place or a position where there's mental exercises, where people want to have their debates and prove their knowledge. But at the end of your Christian life, it's not that much what you know, it's how much of what you know you've applied. Doctrine is very important. You know what we stand for and deal with over here, day in and day out, and Sundays and Wednesdays. But we as Christians must never give in or give up. And we're going to look at this for a few minutes this morning, and then I want to show you a clip. The war clouds seem to be getting darker and darker. Life as we know it seems to be changing. Morals that were clear-cut are no clear cut any longer. Truth is not like it used to be. Truth can now be interpreted by the beholder. So truth, it all depends what is truth to the individual, and that individual will proclaim the truth. As a matter of fact, truth as you and I know it is hard to find, and evil seems to have its sway. And as I mentioned to you from the days of COVID, there seems to be an agenda. It also seems that we've entered a spiritual battle between darkness and light. It seems that way. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Over the last several months, again, I've been revisiting certain things in my folders concerning end days. The end times, looking at meetings within secret societies, looking at meetings where the so-called world elite gathers once a year. And I looked at the 2025 elite meeting by wealthy individuals globally gathered in a specific place. On the agenda was Europe. On the agenda was, and these guys are guys that are discussing the future for the year, the kind of path that the countries need to follow. Of course, on the agenda was USA finances. On the agenda was the discussion of the Middle East. But also on that particular agenda was to bring down the population of the world. How do they do that? So you and I sit in a church this morning in this building. We are the church, but we're sitting in the building. Unbeknownst to us, there's planning about us going on in the world that you and I know nothing about. I'm fortunate that I do a bit of reading at times, and I have an idea what the globalist agenda is and the secret societies, some of the agenda that has been revealed. But these guys make the plans for you and I to follow. And that's implemented then into the government. And the government goes through the governors and their mayors. And so we got to follow as sheep to a slaughter. But don't let that perturb you. Because once again, as a child of God, what have I got to fear? Nothing. Nothing. Because I'm a child of the living God. Is it possible that we would go through tough times? Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know where the church ever got this understanding, and it may have come from the prosperity movement or whatever movements out there, that Christianity is an easy life. Oh, really? Speak to Peter. Speak to Paul. Speak to Stephen. Speak to John. One of the folklore of John before he went to the Isle of Patmos, they threw him in a barrel of boiling oil so they can use his body to make soap. And so we can go through church history and find that there were great sacrifices being a Christian. But we have grown up, particularly in the age we have grown up, this is an easy life. And we can't handle challenges as children of God. You just name it and you claim it and it happens. With the future looking bleak and people are getting more and more concerned about their future, and particularly you hear it more often now than ever before, the future of our children and grandchildren, and more often before have you heard peace, peace, peace. You've never heard peace so often on television as what you're hearing it today. You've never heard that amount of peace being proclaimed. All part of the biblical narrative. But the follower of Christ needs to stand firm and steadfast in a what? A changing world. This world is changing fast. I think it was Pete yesterday just sharing with me, even within the welding business, that robots are being employed to do a number of amount of welding that taking the place of humans. And so within the offices, we see the same thing. So the world is changing so fast that we are on a roller coaster ride. What do I do? Do not become bewildered. Never give in and never give up. So let us learn from a Christian that lived in this world and experienced hardships, difficulties, and how he coped with it as a follower of God. As a matter of fact, I think it may have been 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night when I shared some of this with you guys that were here on Wednesday night. Paul is speaking to the Christians in Corinth, Greece, about some of the hardships and trials that he and his fellow workers are subjected to for one reason only: preaching the gospel. How popular is the gospel today? Think about that. How popular? How often, when you want to share the gospel with somebody in our country in particular, they're not interested in it. Doesn't mean we stop presenting the gospel. We continue to do that because we've been instructed to do that. So, Paul says, experience every kind of pressure. They experienced every kind of pressure. And experiencing every kind of pressure, he makes a statement. As you and I may experience every kind of pressure in our short life upon the face of the earth, there will be hardships, there will be difficulties. But what Paul mentions, we are experiencing every kind of pressure, but we're not crushed. So may I present to you today, a Christian cannot be crushed. It cannot be crushed. Don't believe the lie of the devil that you're done. Don't believe the lie of the devil that you can't advance in your spiritual life. You can't cope. There's no such thing. You will not be crushed in Christ. And then he says, we are persecuted by others. And yes, he has also been persecuted by his fellow brethren. Persecuted by others. But here's the consolation. Here's the driving force in his life. Here's something that is settled in his mind. God has not forsaken us. So if God is with us, so what do? Advance. Go forward. Oh, we are forsaken by brothers and sisters. You may be forsaken by your household. You might be forsaken by your family. You're a child of God. Oh my gosh. Don't have Easter lunch with us. You may be persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. And then I love what he says. We may be knocked down. Can a Christian be knocked down? Yeah. Take the count, man. Take the knee. One. Two, like in boxing. But by nine, what do? You get up. We may be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. That's okay. People think when you get knocked down, it's a form of weakness. No, it's not. Man, I took the blow. But I'm not down for the count. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9, and that's why it's a practical part of the acronym peace today, being a royal priesthood, but we also got to understand that we're living a life in enemy territory, and we know that we are ambassadors of God, so we represent heaven, that's the highest authority in the universe, so we can get our shoulders back, our head up, and know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We often suffer, but look at that. We are never what? Why not? Why not? Because of our hope. Where's our hope? Jesus Christ is our hope. Even when we don't know what to do, and you and I have all been there, I don't know what to do. Guess what? We never give up. One of the difficulties in facing challenges is when people are challenged or go through difficult times, they actually lose momentum. And sometimes they just cower and sit down. I would submit to you today, no matter what comes your way, you keep on moving forward. Maybe a slower pace, but you keep on moving forward. Even when we don't know what to do, we never, never, never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we are knocked down, what do? How often? Every single time. So what am I trying to bring across to you this morning? Get a battle mentality. Get a battle mentality. Oh, you can knock me down, but you're not going to knock me out. You may create a hindrance for me, but it's not going to stop me from advancing. Get that battle mentality. Don't get into the self-pity mentality. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me help you. Shut up and move forward. Let's go. Let's go. But that's where the stronger in faith must help the what? The weaker in faith. In verse 9, this contemporary English version. Oh, that is verse 9. In times of trouble, God is with us. In saying this, Paul is teaching every follower of Christ to something they need to know. Every follower in Christ. Corinthians was a challenging place, as I told you before. The Christians were very worldly. The Christians were doing things they're not supposed to do. And he had to take two letters, long letters, to resolve it or sort these people out. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, and we're going to go to verse 17 now. But I like verse 16, the contemporary English version, because this is reality. Let's face it. This is what it's all about. I only want you to help me with the purple. Let's read it together. We. Now, can you try and memorize that? The next time you face a challenge, what do? You quote the portion of that verse. We never give up. Now, folks, we must be careful. Because there's going to be times in your life and my life that is going to be very close to home. In particular, also when you lose a loved one. It's not easy. It's not easy to be positive. It's not easy, but you can and I can. We're going to say, I will not give up. And something you and I don't like, our bodies are doing what? Can you believe that? That beautiful body of yours? If I'm you, I'm going to get it cloned. At least there's another one like you. No, don't. Our bodies are gradually dying. It's got to die. It's got to die and go to the ground so we can get that resurrected body. So don't fall in love with this body, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest? This body's got to die. There's going to be a beautiful resurrected body. Stuff that you and I can't even comprehend or wrap our mind about. This glorified body. Wow. But we ourselves are being made stronger each day. Enduring. Facing the battles. Facing the challenges. In verse 17, the Message translation says the following. These hard times, and brings the comparison to the present and the future, and making us understand what he is going through and revealing to us that hope that is there. And he says, these hard times. What hard times? We'll go back to his hard times. What was his hard times? And the question then would be, have you and I experienced the equivalent of his hard times? No. So is it possible that his hard times are more intense than what you and I have ever experienced? Yes. Yes. But how did he handle it? How did he observe it? How did he deal with it? These hard times are small potatoes. Serious? Serious? These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. In his life or the life hereafter? It could be both, because The gospel is being preached and people's lives are being changed. But it refers to the good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. Now, we can deal with that lavish celebration, and maybe the first thought will come to your mind, this lavish celebration might be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is that possible? Yeah. Am I banking on it? No. But it's going to be good, and I'll tell you why. I have received a memo. On my table, there's going to be steak and Coke. So, yeah, we're fine. I don't know about your table. You can have your fish and everything else that crawls. But here we go. The lavish celebration prepared for us. So he's presenting to us what the Christians are going through, what he's going to go through, has been going through, and he's informing us as a child of God. It's not as easy as some may make it out to be. And he informs us that there are hardships and suffering in preaching the gospel and in life in general. So, yeah, we pause for a moment. Are hardships good? How many of us enjoy hardships? We don't. We don't. But it's inevitable. So am I here to bring sad news? No. We're here to bring reality. Common sense. Because that's become the popular word nowadays. Within the political realm. And also you and I that listen to certain things that are being proclaimed on television. Ridiculous stuff. No common sense. Well, common sense seems to be, once again, in the eye of the beholder. To the person that preaches the non-common sense, to them it's common sense. To us who believe in common sense, that's non-common sense. And they think we don't have the common sense. So now it's people against people in their brains. So if there's a problem there, where do we need to go? To find common sense, where do I go? The Word. Go to the Word. But I don't believe the Word. Well, then you won't have common sense. He informs us of these hardships. And as I mentioned two Wednesday nights ago, as we went through the list of his hardships that he's being Paul himself, in 2 Corinthians 11:23, the Message translation, are they servants of Christ? I can go them one better. I can't believe I'm saying these things. It's crazy to talk this way. But I started. And I'm going to finish. Notice that. I started. And I'm going to finish. I've worked much harder. Being jailed how often? More often. For what reason? The common sense to preach the gospel. Beaten up more times than I can count. And at death's door, time after time. Now, have we been there? No. How many times have you been beaten for the gospel? Well, let's start. Because then you can put it on your resume. Any volunteers? No, volunteers this morning? Oh, but we do beat people with words. A lot of that going on. Christians beat Christians with words, attitudes, gossip. So what he's doing is shining light on the lifestyle of a believer. Now, aren't things supposed to be getting better and better and better? No. The Bible doesn't predict that. The Bible does predict that things are going to get worse, worse, worse. Or if you want to, worse, very wrong English, I believe, but it is what it is. If there's a Message translation, there's a Marist translation, and that's me. So, okay, so we're fine. I've worked much harder. I've been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count. Other translations also elaborate very nicely on it. In 2 Corinthians 11:24, 5 times the Jews gave me, what? Just wait. Contemporary English version. Do you see what I'm seeing? Who beat him? But what was Paul? A Jew. So his own people beat him because he did not toe the line with what they were believing. 5 times the Jews gave me up 39 lashes with a whip. So once again, on a scale 1 to 10, how are we doing in comparison? Now, it's dangerous to make comparisons because it's a different age. It's a different dispensation. But looking at hardships, what kind of hardships have we had? Maybe missed a meal. Maybe couldn't get our coffee from Starbucks. To be more serious, maybe lost your job. But then you got another job. So yes, it's all relevant. But the question I've asked myself and the question I will propose to you this morning, does he sound like a defeated man? Have you seen a hint of any defeat in his vocabulary? And the question then is, why not? Why not? He had an experience with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ turned him inside out, upside down, and right side up. He had Jesus. Now, Jesus is not a magic formula. As we've experienced over the ages, the louder you shout Jesus, the victory is better. And over the years, people will keep on just repeating when they pray for people or once they want to cast out demons or whatever, they'll just read in Jesus' name and the words get louder and louder and louder and louder. You never find any form of defeat in his vocabulary. And I'm presenting to you, to me this morning, that we're going to face some hard times. We're going to be put to the test. But we're going to be moving forward and not going back. Because if I look at the scenario and I look at Paul, and that's why Paul helps the people and say, I want you to be followers of me. Not that he's egotistic. But then he says, as I am a follower of Christ. So he's pointing people to Christ through his attitude and behavior. Be a follower of me, as I am a follower of Christ. In other words, look at the hardships. Look at the difficulties that I've gone through. Look at my experiences, but I'm not defeated. And I'll show you how to live this life because I'm evidence. Yes, the evidence. And may I say to you, and that might contradict a lot of people's belief, we are not always going to come out on top. Don't, and you can take it or bring it to me, we are not always going to come out on top. There are times we're going to be knocked down. There are times there's going to be sorrow. There are times that we're going to cry. There are times that we're going to just say, God, I don't know what to do. But all I can do is walk forward and trust you. That's all I can do. And you know what? That's all he wants us to do. That's all he wants us to do. I will present to you this morning that we're not going to win every battle. But the battle spiritually has been won already. I also present to you this morning that there are going to be high points and low points in your life, whether you and I like it, because we are not robots. I've got emotion. But my emotion doesn't dictate my behavior. I will, regardless of the low point, I will rejoice in the Lord always. Regardless of the low point, regardless of the hurt, regardless of the sorrow, regardless of the difficulty, I am fully convinced, if God is for me, who can be against me? Who? Who? So let's live that way. Oh, we can calculate things in our minds. We can prepare our minds for different theology. But let's be real. If God is for us, who can be against us? And oftentimes, we focus on the now. We focus on this little thing called life that has its maximum at 100, 110. I don't know of anybody 115 yet. Maybe you do. Well, that's also their maximum. But we do know it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. Paul endured. He never gave in. He never gave up. So how many of us this morning want to be followers of Paul? I want to. But I'm not focusing on Paul. I'm focusing on the one that Paul is following. But I'm looking at this example and I say, my mate, I haven't come close to what you've experienced. And I tell you what, you are such an inspiration to me. Oh, we can go through the modern people that have suffered for Christ. Sure. Many of them. There's a quote that, oh, I don't know if you're going to disagree or agree and maybe digest it. Listen to it. It's not how hard you can hit, but how hard you can get hit and still move forward. You're Rocky. Oh, you carnal individuals. Now, just think of that. That a worldly person can inspire you. But Rocky's experience doesn't even come close to Paul's experiences. But this is the truth. It's not how hard you can hit, but how hard can you get hit and still move forward? How? Can I answer that? No. Can you really answer that? I don't think so. Because Peter thought he had it all wrapped up. Personal experience, what I've observed, I've seen many a Christian fall apart. I've seen many a Christian unravel under trials. Over my 45 years, I've seen many Christians get hit and go down and stay down. I've seen many a Christian that was faithful in serving God and turned their back on God. I've seen many a Christian that says, I want nothing to do with Christianity. And the nothing to do with Christianity has actually not much to do with God, but the followers of God, because they looked at man and man disappointed them. Understand and know that every Christian will face trials. And it seems to me the longer I preach, the longer your face is growing. Because I didn't come here to hear that I'm going to have trials. No, I'm equipping you. That's my job. To equip you. Understand and know that every Christian will face trials. That's a fact. Whether it's gospel related or just trials of life, doesn't really matter. We're going to face it. The scripture that I also often quote, I've most probably done it 3 times already in the last 2 months, is John 16:33 that says, in this world, You should know it by now. I've quoted it so many times. In this world, you will have much trouble, much trials, much difficulties, much temptation. In this world, you will have much trouble. So throw a self-pity party. Do I have a choice? Next time you go through a difficult time, order pizza. Because that's what happens when people go through trials, they eat. That's why we eat so much. Seems like Crossway's always under trial. Oh, gosh. In this world, you shall have much tribulation, much trouble, much affliction, much anguish, much burdens, much pressure. And when it comes to burdens, what did we see on Wednesday night? Cast your burdens on the Lord. And as we said on Wednesday night, people cast and they reel in. Boom, boom, boom. Cast and they reel in. Man, that's insanity. Now, don't please leave the church and call, leave and say, Pastor called me insane. The behavior is insane. Or the habit is insane. In this world, you will have much trouble, much anguish, much difficulties. And then, of course, it continues and says, but be of... Is that obvious on a person's face? Is cheer obvious? Is cheer something you can see? So now we know what to do in difficult times. The problem or the challenge is to apply it. It's something that you can develop. It's something that you can develop from this moment onwards as you do face the next trial. And let's pray together that your next trial will come at lunch. There will be pizza. There's no pizza. Somebody's going to take your seat. Somebody's going to push in the line. Is that a trial? Well, they're interfering in my lifestyle. So be assured that the Bible says, be of good cheer. And I love the fact that he says to the disciples, be of good cheer. Because here's the reason I want you to be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome. Be of good cheer. Can we have anyone better in our corner? Can we have anybody better in our lives? Is there anyone else I want to walk this Christian walk with? No. He's been tested. He's been tried. He's been proved. He's been put to death. He's been buried, but he rose again from the dead. Is there anybody better? No. And he's coming back again. Oh my gosh, that's a bonus. Wow. I want to serve him, not because of what I can get out of him. I want to serve him because I love him for what he's done in my life. And maybe, I don't know if it's on the screen, but Christianity is not about what you can get. It's about what can you endure. That's what Christianity is all about. Because the Bible explicitly says, endure to the end. Endure, endure, endure. That's why we're closing the series with endure. Endure. Be assured that there are going to be times when you're going to be challenged in a way that you've never been challenged before. Because life is not static. I cannot tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't tell you what experiences you're going to have tomorrow. Because life is not static. There's going to be surprises. But there's one thing that's got to be constant. I will rejoice in the Lord always, and I will endure no matter what the cost. Pressure will mount. Trouble will intensify. At times, the burden will seem to be too heavy. And as we move ahead within the prophetical realm and we move ahead in God's agenda, things worldwide will not necessarily improve. There may be a lull, even with the whole thing of Iran. Wednesday night, I'm dealing with a little bit on Iran. So if you want to know a little bit more, Wednesday night, I'm going to deal with it. It's a hot topic. Is it possible that bringing Iran to its knees are going to create a little more peace in the Middle East? Yes, it is possible, and that's very biblical because Israel, according to prophecy, will virtually be at peace with their neighbors, and then all of a sudden the Antichrist arises and nations will attack. So there's going to be a momentary peace. There's going to be tranquility for a while. But don't believe it's going to last. Please don't let people tell you. I know that's the agenda of Trump. I know that's the agenda with all the heads in the Middle East. Everlasting peace. There cannot be everlasting peace until the Prince of Peace sets up his kingdom. Cannot. Cannot. There's no ways you can have it. There's going to be judgment. Nations are going to be judged. Nations are going to be separated. The sheep nations, the goat nations. There's going to be turmoil. According to who? The Bible. Endure. Never give in or never give up. Now in James it tells us that endurance leads to maturity. So in other words, when you go through difficulties, you don't throw a tantrum every single time. You've now become more mature in analyzing and living the experience. In James 1 verse 2, 3 and 4, God's Word translation, my brothers and sisters, be very happy. Now let's pause there for a moment. Or maybe it would be wise to turn to your brother and sister. And I'm going to ask you to do it. Read verse 2 to the one next to you. Come on, let's do it. My brother, my sister, be very happy. No, let's stop. Wait. Let's read that again. And when you get to be very happy, just put a smile on your face. Let's do it. My brothers, my sisters, be happy. Lord, would you give the test to us now to see if we will pass? No. Well, when do you want it? My brothers and sisters, be very happy when you are tested in different ways. What are those different ways? Experiences of life, experiences because you're preaching the gospel or sharing or witnessing. And then I don't know if they knew this, and I don't know if you know this. You know, you have confidence, you know. Did they know? That's the question I have. You know that. Did they know that? You know that such testing of your faith does what? Produces endurance. So how is endurance developed? The testing of your faith. Is there any other way? Father, is there any other way to develop my endurance except through testing? What do you think he's saying? No. But notice what it says. Nikki, let's just go back to the one again at the bottom. Thanks. Verse 3. You know that such testing of your faith produces endurance. But then, the next one, thanks, Nikki. Endure. It produces. The testing of your faith produces endurance. So continue because you've got to get through it. Because that's what he says. Endure until your testing is over. Well, can you give me a timeline? I love working with timelines. There's got to be a beginning. There's got to be an end. When we do stuff around the church, when are we starting? When are we finishing? I want to know that. Endure until your testing is over. When will I be mature? Then you will be mature and complete. And you won't need anything. Why? Because you've learned to trust him, and no matter what, you're going forward. James 5, 10, 11. Brothers and sisters, follow the example of the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Another word highlighted that all of you and all of us, particularly me, have certain challenges with, as you've always heard me say as well, Lord, give me patience, but hurry up, please. They were patient. When were they patient? That's not part of the old nature. That's not part of who we are. I'm not patient when I'm suffering. I want to make it right now. Let's settle the score. They were patient when they suffered unjustly. Verse 11. We consider those, oh my gosh, guys. We consider those who endure to be what? Favored. Blessed. Favored. And then, of course, the reference is to Job. They say the first book written, the oldest book in the Bible. Look at this. You have heard about Job's endurance. In everything that the Bible says, that in everything that Job experienced, he never blamed or cursed God. You have heard about Job's endurance. You saw that the Lord ended Job's suffering because the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And how much through his lifetime did he lose? Quite a lot. And the trick question is, was he married? Yes, of course. Well, there's the trick question there. So how much did God give back to him, compensate after he endured faithfully? What did God restore to him? Twice as much? So that means he had an extra wife then? You mean one's enough? Oh, he's now keeping quiet. All right, so you saw the Lord ended Job's suffering because the Lord is compassionate and merciful. We all know what happened to Job. In the end, he was twice as blessed for enduring all he had suffered. And what does God do? God does something in Job 42:10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him what? Why? He endured. And gave him twice as much as he had before. So the Lord restored what Job had lost after he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord doubled all that belonged to Job. And the Christian life is about enduring all things. I want to do two more scriptures and then I want to show you a clip. Yes, times are tough. But even in times that are tough, and I trust that some of the stuff you've memorized, and one of the things you've memorized this morning, I will never give up. I will never give in. I will endure. In Psalm 37:25, I've been young, the Living Bible translation. It's actually a paraphrase, this particular one. I have been young and now I am old. Many of us are on that track already. And in all my years, and I love this, I kind of appreciate this. In all my years, I have never seen the Lord forsake a man who loves him. Nor have I seen the children of the godly go hungry. Because with serving God, and I can only use a worldly term, with serving God or in serving God, there are benefits and there are perks. That's the only word, vocabulary I can come up with. Blessing, yes, of course. But there's such an advantage in serving God. There's such an advantage in being called a child of the living God, being given the authority, the permission to be called a child of the living God. This, with it comes authority, with it comes peace, with it comes joy. There's just so much. In the end, when the smoke is cleared and the fight is over, Paul was blessed beyond measure, and we'll close this part of the service with 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, the Living Bible. I love this. I think that's something that every one of us would admire and maybe have it written on our tombstone. I have fought long and hard for my Lord. And notice, and through it all, you're a Christian? Yeah. You're going to stay a Christian? Yeah. I'm going to fight no matter what. I have fought long and hard for my Lord. Referring to everything that he's gone through, his shipwrecks, his beaten, his stoning, blah, blah, blah. And through it all, I've kept true to him. And now, the time has come for me to do what? Stop fighting and... You know, I woke up the other morning and I said to Heather, I need to go back to sleep. She says, why? I said, because sleep is precious. Do you know that when you die, there is no more sleep? So sleep all you can now, okay? And now the time has come for me to stop fighting and rest. Oh, isn't this beautiful for all of us? In heaven, a crown is waiting for me. How does he know that? Which the Lord, the righteous judge. So we are going to be judged in any case by the Lord, but there's a crown. Will give me on that great day of his return. And notice now, he incorporates all of us. And not just to me, but to all those whose lives show that they are eagerly looking forward to his coming back again. Are you looking forward to his coming? Endure. Endure. In this world you will have much trouble, but be of good cheer. Good cheer. Endure. Never give in or up. Better never give in or never give up. What I'm going to do, I will be showing you a little clip, but before I show you the clip, I see Bob Boucher is standing at the back there. You guys may not know it. Bob Boucher actually features in this particular clip. He got paid mega bucks to be prominent in this clip. And I hope he pays his tithes on all the money he received. Nicole, hit the...